Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday, when we follow up on some things that came up briefly on the program this week. As you know, this week we've had major economic speeches from all three candidates in the presidential primaries. It all started with John McCain on Monday, then Hillary Clinton followed suit, and yesterday we heard from Barack Obama. But one little piece of McCain's speech came up a few times this week. Let's take a listen to the clip.
You may recall that immediately after September 11, 2001, General Motors stepped in to provide 0% financing as part of keeping the economy growing. We need a similar response by the mortgage lenders.
Well, McCain has been paying for that analogy. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal editorial page called this a dubious analogy. As it said, the GM offer was for new car customers, not people who already owned a car. But a caller on our show Wednesday had another problem with the McCain analogy. Let's listen back to that call.
Well, what that says is that Senator McCain doesn't understand what 0% financing means. Because if you look at the way those offers work, okay, the price of the car that you buy with 0% financing is higher than when you buy the car with regular financing. Hmm. It's just a question of how you pay the financing.
Mm-hmm. Mike, thank you very much. I didn't know that about those cars. Is that true about the cars, that the actual price of the car is higher if it's a 0% loan? Check that out. But maybe that was always a deal. So since we left that hanging, we did check that out, and here's what we learned. First off, when you pay for a car with a 0% financing, you tend to get a shorter time period to pay it off, so you'll have to make sure you can pay the significantly higher monthly payments. But the real catch is this. Do you ever notice how those ads for 0% financing tend to say 0% financing or $10,000 cash back? That or clause is important. In essence, when you choose the 0% financing, you are opting to pay $10,000 more for the car in those cases. And if you do the math, this often ends up being less than what you would pay in interest. So yes, our caller was essentially right. The sticker price may not be higher, but beware the dreaded or clause. Let's move on to another interesting tidbit that came up this week. On Tuesday, we did a segment on young librarians, and I caught a bit of flack from listener Frank for my pronunciation of the name of NYU's main library. And Frank in Manhattan wants to weigh in on the pronunciation of the library at NYU. Hi, Frank.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. And it is not Bobst?
When I was at graduate school at NYU back in the late 60s, it was the Elmer Holm Bobst Library.
Huh. All right. Well, listeners, we're going to have to clear this up. I don't know. Somebody's going to have to look up and post definitively on our comments page whether it's Bobst or Bobst. You may have to go to the library to actually find the answer. But, Frank, thank you. And we're almost out of time. All right, so that was Tuesday, and in fact, a discussion did break out on our comments page for that segment, but even that was somewhat inconclusive, as people actually were on both sides of that. Lots of different opinions there, and while we can't go to the library now to ask how it's pronounced, let's do the next best thing. Call them up. Here we go.
You have reached the Bobst Library of New York University. Please listen carefully to the following choices. If you have a touch-tone phone, press 1.
So there you go. You got to figure they know how it's pronounced, right? And in case you're wondering, that library is named for Elmer Holmes. He kind of said it in between, didn't he? It was kind of halfway between. See, let's play it again. All right, that was a pre-recording of that phone call. Let's call him up again.
You have reached the Bobst Library of New York University.
Bobst. It's more Bobst than Bobst. Okay, so we'll give it that. And in case you're wondering, Elmer Holmes Bobst gifted $6 million toward the construction of the library, which was completed in 1973. Both made his money in pharmaceuticals and was a close confidant of Richard Nixon. Both library houses more than 3.3 million volumes, 20,000 journals, and over 3.5 million microforms. It has 6,500 visitors per day and circulates more than a million books annually. And, of course, it was the home from September 2003 to April 2004 of the so-called Bopes boy, an NYU undergraduate who took up full-time residence in the basement of the library because he couldn't afford rent in the village. And that's that. Consider yourself followed up on that point.